Chapter number 17, Luke's Gospel, chapter number 17. If you'd stand, we'll honor the reading of the Word of God, found in Luke's Gospel, chapter 17, verse number 11. Before I do that, turn around and tell somebody you're glad to hear this morning. Reach your hand out there and let them know it's good to be here. Thank God. Glad I'm saved this morning. Cut me off, Brother Will. I got more manners than you thought I did, don't you? Thank God. Luke 17, verse number 11, the Bible said, and it came to pass. Aren't you glad that there are some things that come, but aren't you glad they go? Came to pass as he went to Jerusalem. This amazes me right now. He said he passed through the midst of Samaria. Well, how come he went through Samaria? Hey, beats me. It amazes me the love of the Savior. And the Samaritans were Gentile dogs. Jesus was a Jew. Matter of fact, he met a woman at the well in John 4. He said, if you know it about me, he said, you'd ask me that living water. She said, well, how me being a Samaritan and you a Jew even talk to me? Beats me why he'd even come our way. It amazes me he's blessed us the way he's blessed us. So Jesus went through the midst of Samaria and Galilee, and as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 lepers. They were men, and they stood afar off. That's where leprosy had put you between the Savior this morning. Leprosy, a type of sin. And my goodness, we can't get to Him by our works or our goodness or even our good efforts. But aren't you glad He made a way for us by the cross of Calvary and the blood of Jesus? He said, and they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said unto them, go show yourselves to the priest. And it came to pass as they went, they were clean. Why didn't the priest do nothing for them? Because he can't do nothing for them. And he still can't do nothing for them. Somebody looks like Papa and dresses like Mama. Amen. I'd be wary of a feller. Didn't he know how to put his shirt on right? You put your, hey, if I come in here, my collar's on backwards in the front. Somebody remind me I'm an independent fundamental Baptist preacher. Feller don't even know how to put his clothes on right. I wouldn't listen about how to get to heaven from him. The Bible said, came to pass as they went, they were cleansed. And I like this boy. You can build a church with him. And one of them. Matter of fact, he'll cure a building program, friend. One of them, when he saw he was healed, turned back. And I like this with a squeaky low voice. No, he said with a loud voice, he glorified God. Would somebody praise him in this place this morning? You can go down at the ball game, shout, but you come to the house of God, you get mealy mouth. The loud voice. Well, I don't know if this boy was Baptist or not. I don't see the hierarchies coming to shut him down. Now, y'all just go and sit down this morning. You know, somebody about time they get stirred up for Jesus, somebody say, what's wrong with them? It ain't what's wrong with them. What's wrong with you? Jesus didn't have an issue with him. He had an issue with them. What's all this shouting about? Hey, ain't you glad you can go to church where you can shout? Boy, I'm wanting to get on tonight's message so quick. I mean, these rabbits bouncing everywhere this morning. If we'll shoot, we'll eat rabbit this morning. Somebody say amen right there. Praise God, it's hard to beat a good fried rabbit, white milk gravy anyhow. Somebody say amen this morning. Some of y'all raised on Mickey D's, you don't know what real country eating's about. Good fried rabbit, amen. But this old boy, he realized something happened to him and he had something to say. I'm more purpose in my heart to quit looking at the crowd and go to preaching what's in my heart. About the time some of you begin to shout, you looking around to see what people saying and thinking. Hey, I'm glad this old boy didn't wait for somebody else to shout. A lot of you looking around, looking for an opportunity. Boy, somebody else would say something, I'd say something. Well, let me go and say something. He's worthy to praise him this morning. It's all right to shout down Liberty Baptist Church. It's okay to be glad of what the Lord's done for you. The Bible says, hey, lift holy hands and praise Him in the sanctuary. I'm sorry the Baptists got you before Jesus got some of you. He praised Him with a loud voice. I don't know why loud church services mess you up anyhow. Hey, when we go to heaven, the Bible said in Revelation chapter number 5, and they praise Him with a loud voice. That loud business messes your nerves up, don't it? I want to remind you, if you go to heaven, the heaven of this Bible, it's not going to be a quiet side and a shouting side. I know some of you say, well, I want to be reverend, and let's go in and sit in on the quiet side. I remind you too, there ain't going to be a smoking section and non-smoking section. Somebody going to say amen right there. Hey, and you boys still are chewing that tobacco, you ain't going to spit it on the floor of glory neither. Somebody go and help me preach a while this morning. Try to get the whole crowd under conviction half mad. We'll have meeting tonight. Boy, I like this old boy. What's all this shouting about? He said one of them, when he saw he was healed, he turned back with a loud voice. He wasn't glorifying the Baptist. He wasn't glorifying the red devils. Oh, go on, I'll get on your little bulldogs before I get on this morning. Oh yeah, you little religious Pharisee. You can go down to the ball game, say something, but the man of God gets stirred up, you look like, what's your problem? Hey sir, what's your problem? What's your problem? You need to go check in one of these liberal places. They got plenty of space for you with their pony rides and trick-or-treats this morning. They got plenty of places for you. And he fell down on his face. Matter of fact, you better watch them trick-or-treat boys. They'll change the music on you. They'll change the Bible on you, too. Okay, enough rabbits. I'm going to get to preaching. You ready for preaching? And he fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks, and he was a Samaritan. It'd do us good to realize what we was. And Jesus answered. See, Jesus don't have any questions, but He's got all of the answers. And Jesus simply answered. No doubt, I think maybe a crowd was looking at this old boy. Maybe this old boy had a few tattoos on his arm. Maybe this old boy had a earring in his ear. Maybe he had a tongue ring in. I ain't figured all that out yet. Anything I'd get stuck in, honey, I'd go to the doctor, amen. I mean, I can't talk, I'm going to be looking what's messing me up. Amen. Somebody gonna say amen right there this morning. My Lord, I'd be getting me a pair of needle nose pliers. I'd say, hey, Brother Dave, get this thing out of my tongue. I can't talk like. Praise God, I wouldn't be putting it in. I'd be getting it out. And so he was giving him thanks, and Jesus answering, and no doubt there was a crowd looking at this old boy that was feeling his salvation, preacher. I love to have them people in the congregation that feel their salvation. Somebody said, well, salvation ain't feelings. That's exactly right, honey. But you get a hold of the God of this Bible, He'll give you some feeling down the road. I'm a feeling saved this morning. Not sanctimonious, but saved this morning. And so he began to shout with a loud voice, and Jesus answering said, well, now wait a minute here. Well, were there not 10 cleansed? This is what he said. He said, where's everybody else? Where are the 9? He said, I know where this boy is. He's at the right place. He's at my feet shouting out, enjoying the good things of God. But he said, where in the world is the other 9? I might ought to preach this next Sunday since the building's a little low this morning. Where are the 9? He said, I understand what you're doing. But he said, I don't understand what they're doing. That felt so good, I'm going to say it again. I know what you're doing. But what are they doing? Where's the 9? When they 10 of you boys got saved? Wasn't it 10 of you that was a leper and you was a long way off? What's your trouble? Why ain't you here with this boy? That's what he's saying. See, we better watch something in our church. I've noticed of late we're getting a little too formal. We're getting a too little dignified. And you know the devil loved to hush a preacher up about preaching on the things of the times, but Jesus said a lot about the times. And so the devil wants us just to be a little mealy-mouthed puppet on a string and please everybody and tickle everybody and say, now y'all come back now, you hear? Well, a preacher won't stand up for the right and tell you the truth. He ought to get out of the preaching business. And so, this morning, he said in verse 18, something very sad, they are not found that return to give glory to God save this stranger. Let me ask you, why can't you give God for the glory of what you got? See, that's what it's all about. God wants the glory. Hey, ma'am, hey, sir, you may have one of the finest educations in the country. That's good. I wished I had more of it. But if it wasn't for the God of this Bible to give you the mind, you couldn't have got that diploma. You say, well, man, I've got it made. I've got a 401k locked up. All he's got to do is just flip a trigger on and it's gone. And let's see what you made of then. Let's see how good you are then. Said, didn't find any to turn around and glorify God. I want to say, first of all, the commonness of ingratitude. We live in a day of people that have ingratitude. You know, my mom and daddy, we didn't always have a lot, but I thank them for what I did have. Matter of fact, it'd do some of you good if you had to wear the little boy's clothes down the road. It'd keep your head from swelling a little bit. Matter of fact, when you went down to school and there was darts in your britches where your mama took them out, some of you don't even know what darts in your britches are. But some of you fixing to get some darts put in your britches. But it ain't going to be mama put them in there. Your father's going to put them in there. It'd do some of you good for some of them other kids in the classroom to laugh at you and ridicule you and realize, honey, let me tell you, there is the commonness of ingratitude. We forgot about what we got. God has been so good to me. You say, well, preacher, hey, you ain't got that big high-profile job no more. No, I've got the greatest job in America. Telling people that Jesus saves, Jesus saves. It's a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. If I was president of the United States, I'd have to sit down. I'd take a demotion to be president of the United States. God didn't write much about presidents, but He wrote a lot about preachers. Wrote a lot about Christians. If you're a Christian this morning, you ought to thank God that you're a Christian. Commonness of ingratitude. You see, the widespread thanklessness of Christians is a disgrace of our day. They love the gift more than the giver. You know, isn't it amazing? The commonness of ingratitude. Look at your home life this morning. Look at what God has done for you. And you can't turn around and say thank you for it. I mean, the ingratitude of our home life. Hey, preacher, you don't understand. Well, you're not living under a bridge. Matter of fact, if you lived under a bridge, you'd have running water. Somebody say amen right there. More than what a lot of our forefathers had. Poor old pitiful me, we ain't got nothing. The commonness of ingratitude. They love the gift more than the giver. Boy, look in your home life, how good God's been to you. And then your church life. Boy, hadn't God been good to us? And then we think about our secular life down at your job. Some of you mully grubbing about your job. You ought to thank God for who that you can go to work for. You could be in the soup line this morning. You ought to quit your whining and get to thanking God for how good it is this morning. We talk about we're in a depression and a recession. Honey, we ain't in a depression and a recession. Go down yonder Longhorn. You can't even get in there tonight. That looks like a recession. And recession and depression that people's eating roadkill. How many of you picked up a possum and eat him yesterday? Some of you look like you've been eating possum this morning. Commonness of ingratitude. Boy, isn't it something? The widespread thanklessness of Christians is a disgrace in our day. And then the commonness of ingratitude, but secondly, the capabilities of ingratitude. You know, it is capable to getting ingratitude. You say, well, preacher, I'm thankful this morning. Well, you better look at this crowd that God saved. Because I'm going to tell you, it is capable of getting on you. And first of all, I'm going to tell you what. The capabilities, I'll tell you one capability is when your place has quit blessing you. They stood afar off. They forgot about where they were. Have any of you forgot about where God found you at? Some of you wasn't exactly in the Who's Who's Club in the Bowden Sertoma Club. God found some of us over yonder in a ditch bank, and we ought to be in hell this morning. And we ought to thank Him for where He found us. Thank God we got a past that's gone in the sea of forgetfulness. I'm glad I'm not working my way to heaven. I'm glad I'm sitting in heavenly place. I'm glad for the blood of the Lord Jesus this morning that washes us clean. I'm glad I don't have to give an account of my past. It's under the blood. Thank God. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Boy, it's capable to quit thanking Him for you. Place. How much better could God be to you this morning than to be in the family of God? You see, when you die, it's not over. It just begins. The Bible says you must be born again. And you're born by the Spirit from above. And we all thank God for our place in Christ, that He's loved something like me and you. Now I realize some of you are a lot more lovable than I am and than I was. But in spite of me and in spite of circumstances, Jesus loved me and died for me and offered to me the life of salvation. Capabilities of ingratitude is capable that your place quit blessing you. They stood afar off. And it's possible that the persons quit blessing you. Verse 13, you know what? They weren't afraid to ask Him for something, but they wouldn't give Him nothing. You see, they called him master, but they forget about who he was. Boy, a lot of times, you know something, I told Brother Mike the other day, I said, boy, our church service has been dragging. I said, you let a storm hit and he's going to get some people's attention. You remember 911, friend, when God pulled the cover back, let those terrorist attacks hit our nation. I remember the balcony was lined that Sunday morning. About had to put chairs out, but you know what? They got over it. Got over it. See, that person's quit blessing them. Let me tell you, you're washed up, friend, when you take your eyes off Jesus and realize He deserves all of your honor and all of your glory and all of your praise. It's all about Him. Listen, it began with Him. It lives with Him and it'll end with Him. It's all about the Lord Jesus Christ this morning. When your persons quit. Man, when we sing about how I love Jesus, it ought to be 300 hands thrown up in the bell. Thank you, Lord, for helping me. Matter of fact, some of you ought to just get in practice every now and then. Throw your little hands up and thank Him for who He really is. I wonder, some of you know Him. You never do wave to Him. You ever sit at the red light, somebody pull up and they wave at you? Hey! Boy, when you look goofy, somebody knows sitting there waving at you and you just... Hey, it's okay to praise Him. It's okay. You can be a fundamentalist and raise your hands and praise. Don't mean you're charismatic because you raise your hands and you love Jesus. You see, it's capable that a person's quit blessing you and you forget about where you was in your past. And you know, we're capable of the people quit blessing us. You know, it was a group of people there got saved, and they was a special type people. They were healed people, and they were helped people, and they were holy people. But you know something? Evidently, these nine people quit blessing them. I enjoy coming to church with the fellowship of the people. You know, the Bible says that how can one make it alone? When one falls in the ditch, who's going to get you out? A lot of you running around with that Jones crowd. You running around with that drinking crowd and that doping crowd. But honey, when your dope and liquor runs out, they ain't going to know nothing about you. God put you amongst a family of believers for a reason. And honey, let me tell you, when the people of this place quit blessing you, you better check up in on where your blessing's gone. When praying's quit blessing you. Preacher preached this morning. How many times have you prayed? Hey, sir, your young'uns know where you hunt, where you fish. They know where you pray. What we're missing in our country is family altars. And the average Baptist church ain't nobody using the altar no more. Well, I'm glad we've got an altar that we can pray. Praying blesses me. Matter of fact, one of the biggest problems in my life is me. But when I start praying about me, Brother Lee, I get things in perspective and I get little and he gets big. And our praying's quit. But I know we wonder a lot of times why we don't have better church services. Well, how many of you prayed for one today? How many's prayed for one tonight? I asked God last week, I said, Lord, do something special today. Lord, do something special. See, we think prayer don't do nothing. Prayer does change things. Why do you think the Bible said the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much? Call for the elders of the church, let them anoint you with oil, praying over you. As the preacher said, thank God somebody's praying for me out here on the roads of preaching. I can feel when you're praying and when you're not praying. But when you're praying, quit blessing. Let me tell you something. When we've got too busy to pray, we've just got too busy. Where are you at? Where are you at? Jesus said, I know where He is. Where are they at? Commonness of ingratitude and the capabilities of ingratitude. You see your place and your past, your people and pray. You know, when you praise, it's quit blessing you. We're more prone to ask God for what we don't have than to thank Him for what we do have. You know, I mean, we're more prone to ask God for what we don't have than to thank Him for what we do have. You know something? The devil will never show you what you have. He'll just show you what you ain't got. Some of you boys, you tickle me. You think, well, that old wife I got. It don't surprise me that she's left. It surprises me she stayed. Whatever that's worth to you. Treat them like some old wore-out satchel. The devil's saying, boy, look at that pretty thing over yonder. Woo-woo! I don't think that's worth throwing away what you've got. And you ladies, you know, you look at old Tarzan walk in over there at the job. He's got them pretty teeth and that wave of black hair all gelled down. He's listening to all of your troubles. And the devil's saying, you know, your husband won't do that. What does he do? You might ought to quit looking, ma'am, at what he don't do and get to looking at what he is doing. And that goes for all of us this morning. Praise God. I love living with a woman that I've lived with 30-something years. Married, by the way. But can I tell you, shacking up's still wrong. Thank God for a place that you can live together and be happy. Preacher, ain't y'all got problems? Yeah, we got problems. You know she's got problems. She lived with me 30 years. But we ain't throwed the towel in and said, well. You know, I've noticed this most of the time. It's crude analogy, but it works. I only know about crude analogies. I didn't go to the school of the right thought and right precept. God called me just out where I was. But most of the time I've noticed when you look out a window and the grass is greener, it's on a septic line. Boy, it looks good for a while. And you know, out where I was raised, we had barbed wire fences. A man in front of me had one of the biggest dairies in Middle Tennessee. He had, Brother Stanley, he had Holstein cows. You know, Brother Lee, how the ditch bank draws, and I've seen them old cows reach their neck across that barbed wire, cutting their throat, trying to get to that green grass, and they wasn't even looking at that they're standing on. That's sort of like you deer hunters. Let me bring the analogy down to where you live. You ain't looking at all this lease land you've got to hunt. You're just looking at that no trespassing sign over yonder in the woods. Saying, man, I know if I could just get over there, I know he's over there. He ain't where I am. He's over there on somebody else's property. Boy, ain't it amazing to forget about really just what we do have. Well, see, we hear the news and the economy so much. I mean, and I know our country's in a mess, but you know what, Brother Stevens? Them people up there where you live, they've been in a mess a long time. They ain't quit serving God. It ain't a big change to them. They've always been poor. When I was raised up, I didn't know we was poor. Everybody was like us. But we had something that you can't buy this morning. I had a mama and daddy that loved me and would take me to the house of God, try to live a lifestyle in front of me that they could be my page to get to. My heroes wasn't Michael Jordan and Tiger Woods. You know, what's all this shouting about? Commonness of ingratitude. Capabilities of ingratitude. It's capable to get just like them. You know, you don't have to run around the building and shout like a bunch of wild Indians. I know that. I know that's emotionalism. But I tell you what you can do. You can throw your little hands up and say, "Thank you, Lord." I mean, some of you, you walk up the doorsteps of the church, you say, "Oh, my God. The most dreaded day of my life, Sunday. Oh, Lord. Them people's going to shake my hand and hug my neck. God, them songs, that song leader, he's going to sing them old songs. And Lord, that preacher, my God, that preacher, can y'all believe that preacher?" It'd be amazing what a smile would do to your face. I wonder, did Jesus have them kind of mulligrew? You say, "Preacher, you don't know where I am." You're right. And you don't know where I am. But one thing about it, God knows where we both are. And in my worst day, I throw my hands up and say, "Lord, I want to thank you. I want to thank you, Lord, because all this is going to burn up one day and I got something inside of me that can't burn up." It's all he's shouting about. In commonness of ingratitude and capabilities of ingratitude, but the complaint of ingratitude. Jesus had an issue with ingratitude. Verse 17, Jesus answered, said, "Well, they're not 10 cleansed, but where are the 9? Where are they?" Where are you on Sunday night? I don't want to be mean. I won't be ugly. I just want to say you can do what you want to do. And so since you get to tell me what you think, I get to tell you what I think. I think it's a cop-out. I think you can do what you want to do. And wouldn't it be a blessing, Miss Renee, when we ask church members, "Where y'all been?" Won't you just say, "We don't want to come." It goes like this, like that little dog in the back seat, his little head moves. See, you want some little whiny preacher sit there and beg you all the time. It's about time we just preach and throw it out there and you pick it up and do something with it. I tell you why you don't come to church, because your priorities ain't right. You can get to Walmart, you can get to the ball field. Oh, you can get to the ball field, you little skunk. You a sissy. You'll go down there where they're pitching a ball and you won't even get to the house of God. But when you get in trouble, you know what? You hunt the preacher's cell phone. And then our preacher don't love us. He don't come see us and call us. My Lord, I'd have to work for Southern Bell. I'd have to have 70 delegates to see where you are. If I'd listen to my wife, Brother Stanley, she'd help me. She'd say, "Ken, they don't want to come. That's why they ain't coming. They don't want to be here. That's why." And quit worrying yourself about it. Well, I wouldn't be the preacher you got if it didn't bother me. Because I know if it starts leaning, it's going to fall. My wife says, "Well, why don't you preach that on Sunday morning?" I am, right now. Right now, I'm preaching it, gun barrel straight. You do and I do what we want to do. We're headed to a judgment seat where He takes no excuses. Do you think I just love mean preaching? I don't. I know some of you do. But you know what? It's a difference in mean preaching and truthful preaching. It's okay if a man preaches the truth and don't matter who it cuts. Truth is the truth. Hey, you take a mirror and put it up there, you know what it's going to tell you? Truth! Some of you getting old, I hate to tell you. Some of you don't look like you did in your senior annual. Yeah, man! Somebody help me preach a while this morning. My Lord, some of you trying to fence it up and prop it up. Dob it up. It ain't working for you. Ain't working for you. My wife say, honey, listen, you can gel that hair all you want. It ain't changing nothing. I mean, it's one gel I really like. You know, brother, it stays with me about 4 hours. My Lord, it ain't got a lot to stay on, has it? You just only do with so much. Come play them in grand. He said, oh, where are they at? Brother Jerry, I'm glad this dawned on me. Jesus felt this way with His congregation. Oh, where are y'all at? Where are y'all at? Man, we look around in here on Wednesday night. Me and Brother Mike, we're just shaking our heads. They made it to work today. When y'all leave out here, look at that sign. Wednesday night, 7:30. Y'all must be a lot better Christian than I am. I gotta have it at least 3 days a week. 3 times, I gotta have it. Man, I get so wicked and so unruly. Let me ask you something. The ones who was here Wednesday night, have you been in any better service than that in a while? Brother Brown, I'd hate to know I missed that Wednesday. I needed that Wednesday night. Do you see what Jesus is saying? Where are they at? Where's your praise at? Listen, I know it's 12, I started early, but I'm going to preach a while longer. Where's your praise at, really? You're raising children and you're not thankful? What could it be like? You know, Brother Stevens, I think about how y'all have done and you know, the Lord has allowed your wife's eyesight to leave her. You know what? She grabbed her husband's arm this morning. I wonder how many excuses they could have had not to be here today. And look at her sitting there smiling. She's just glad she's here. See, you don't offend people right with God. You don't offend people right. Matter of fact, your children don't get upset about preaching. They'll sit there and just smile at the preacher. Where's your praise at? Why have you quit thanking Him? Where's your praying at? When your sister comes up here to pray, why ain't you getting out of where you sitting and come pray with somebody? You want to come pray by yourself? Have at it. But I like people to pray with me. Where's you giving at? You know, the Lord instructed us to give a tithe. That's His. I don't know why we think He does cartwheels about getting something that's His. Uh-oh, rabbit got up. See, this is my tie. Some of y'all don't like it. It's Tennessee orange. Y'all dog fans get a good look at that this morning. You Alabama boys, get a good look at that orange. That's my tie. If Brother Dennis, a bulldog man, grabbed my tie, and he said, "Oh, preacher, here's your tie." You know what I say? That's mine anyhow. I mean, I ain't turning flips about something mine somebody doesn't give back to me. Give me your tie, Brother Dennis. Undo it right there. Get it to him right quick. You didn't want to wear it down here nohow. Now look there, if he gives me that now, that costs that boy something. Cost him something. See, that didn't mean nothing in the world for him to give me my tie back. We think we've done something because we pay a little old tithe. That's his anyhow. And I got news for you. You ain't figured this out. The other 90% is his. You just don't know it. You just don't know that. Ain't that right, preacher? Woo, Lord, get excited about what's yours. Woo! Hey, somebody help me preach this more. Hey, Lord, get excited about what you done told me to do now. Get excited. Give you this analogy. If my kids, I said, now listen, y'all take the garbage out before your mama gets in this evening. But they go a little further and they done dusted everything. They done cleaned the floors. You know what? My wife walk in, she won't even say nothing about that garbage because it's expected. But she sees all her little trinkets dusted off. Man, everything in order, my shoes out of the living room floor. Somebody say amen right there. Praise God, it's going to pick up down my house. She'll say, that's good. Glad you thought enough of me to do that. But we just wonder why he don't get all excited because what he's done told us to do. And when we do it, we just wonder why heaven ain't doing cartwheels. What about your offerings? I'll be honest with you, I've got so used to giving a tithe, that ain't no problem. I've been doing that for 20 years. But that's them offerings. Brother David, it's them offerings now. I'm just going to be honest, it's them offerings. It's that put back shotgun money down here. Anybody like a good Benelli shotgun? I mean, Walmart's is okay, but brother, it's just something about a Benelli. I wonder if I go to giving God that, I wonder how easy it'd be for me to really get what I'm really wanting. Where's your giving gone? Had a guy got mad at me and left not long ago because I said something about missionaries not getting rich. Broke down. He got upset and left. He don't like me no more. Well, get in that line. But there's some here that do like me. We still got some rednecks love their preacher, don't we? Thank God for you. I'm glad you fight for me. But you ought to thank God, I tell you the truth. Not get mad at me and put your little lip out. Yeah, preacher, he never happy. You little whiny baby. My Lord, I'm tired. Jesus said, where's the nine? He said, I know where this boy's at. I know what he's doing. Where are you at? Brother Eric, you and Miss Julie, won't y'all come sing that song you sung this morning? We do have something to thank him for. Lordy mercy. Where's little old Parker this morning? Sis, you got Parker. These grandbabies. Livia, she's over there drawing. But it's something when a 2.5-year-old will say, "Amen, Poppy." And some of you won't even make a holy grunt. Ain't it amazing how these three little old girls, have you noticed these little old bitty girls, Brother Nick nicknames little baby and our grandbaby and their grand. You ever notice how they'll come over here and get over here in the altar and pray? Matter of fact, at camp meeting, you know, while some of you that morning weren't so thrilled about the service, boy, I mean, I was just carried away with what was going on. Because you know why I was carried away with it? There was something going on that you don't see all the time. And you know what you don't see all the time? Right there it is. Thank God for technology. There's something going on. There's three little old young ones, 2, 3, and 4-year-old, bailed right over there in that corner praying. Now, through the week when the devil, Brother Gerald, says, "You know what, preacher, them people hate you, they don't like you, and if you don't quit preaching, you fix to go back to Pepsi-Cola." I look down there at that corner, and I take and I enlarge it, Brother Gerald. And look at there. Look what a blessing boiled down in that corner right. Now listen, if none of you don't know what a blessing is, that's a blessing them babies over there in that corner praying. And some of you looking around say, "Boy, we ain't got no." You better look and see who's sitting by you this morning.
Amen.
My nephew's here this morning, where I was raised. And I told him yesterday in a fishing boat, I said, "I can't believe, Brother Dennis, my brother is dead." Brother David, I wished I'd had some time to done a few things over. You say, "Preacher, it ain't too good at my house." Hey, it won't take you long. Look down the road, friend. Somebody else got a whole lot worse going on than what you got. Y'all sang, Brother Eric. I hope, Miss, where are you at?